Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to the Frogs of War radio show. This is Jamie Plunkett. I'm your host this evening, talking about TCU's 68-53 win over Central Florida in the NIT semifinals. The Frogs are going to the NIT championship on Thursday. It's a great, great time to be a Horned Frog. Melissa will be along in just a few minutes to join us, but I wanted to get started tonight by going over the stat sheet. Leading the Frogs in the scoring column tonight was Vladimir Brodzianski with 18 points. He was 7 of 13 from the floor, a pretty sketchy 4 of 8 from the free throw line. Normally, he's pretty solid from there, shooting 79% on the season, just 50% tonight. But he also pulled down 9 rebounds, and that is a big deal for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is that he was going up against the tallest player in college basketball, Taco Fall. And as soon as Melissa hops on, we'll talk about him a little bit more. But for now, let's keep going through the score sheet. Kenrich Williams recorded another double-double tonight. It's just pretty much standard at this point for him with 14 points and 14 rebounds. He also had 7 assists on the night and 36 minutes played. He was a beast. He was all over the court tonight, which is what he had to do in order for the Frogs to win this game. He recorded his 4th double-double in 4 NIT games for the Horned Frogs, and I believe that brings his count to 19 double-doubles on the season. I'll have to double-check that, but 19 double-doubles on the season. He was 3 assists away from his 2nd triple-double in as many games. So that's hustle doing hustle things tonight. You had 9 Horned Frogs who had scored tonight. Brodzianski and Kenrich Williams were the only 2 in double digits, but you also had JD Miller, who had 9 points, and they were 9 big points. He had a huge dunk to open the game. He had a layup over Taco Fall to open the second half, and he flew around the court tonight, played some big, big minutes. You also had Alex Robinson, who only scored 5 points. He struggled from the floor tonight. He shot 2 of 10, but he managed to pull down 4 rebounds, and he had 6 assists and only 3 turnovers in 34 minutes. So that was huge. You have Desmond Bain, who had 5 points and 4 rebounds. You have Mike Williams, who hit 2 big 3-pointers and had 3 rebounds. So he had a good night as a senior. You have Brandon Parrish, who had 5 points. Kavar Shepard and Chris Washburn both had points tonight. So all 4 seniors got in on the action, had some quality minutes. It was good to see. And now Melissa is here. Thank the good Lord above. Melissa, how are you doing tonight?
Hello. Oh, I couldn't be better. You know, I got to watch a little bit of a TCU baseball win out there at Lupton and then came home in time to see the end of the NIT semifinal. And, hey, we're going to the ship, man. It's a good day to be a Frog.
It's a heck of a day to be a Frog. So I kind of ran through the score sheet there real quick. But let's talk about what everyone was talking about, especially the announcers tonight. The 7'6" center for Central Florida, Taco Fall.
Melissa, wait, who's that? I've never heard of that guy. He's 7 foot
Taco
six,
with a K.
Is this new
Taco
information? Didn't hear them talking about him the entire time.
I don't think they spoke about him at all. Actually, this is the first time anyone's mentioned him today. But you're a basketball coach. You know, with all of the hype that surrounds this guy, just because he's gigantic, give me your read on what his skill set actually is. He underperformed tonight, I think. He fouled out. He had 5 fouls. He only had 7 points, 5 rebounds. He did have 6 blocks. What was your analysis of him tonight?
Well, you know, I saw, you know, a bit tonight, obviously, and then, you know, I also watched quite a bit of their game against Illinois leading up into the semifinal round. And I've heard about Taco for several years, and I've seen him play a handful of times over the past couple of years as well. You know, there's a couple things that come with being 7'6". Number one, you know, mobility is going to be an issue, and that's obviously a struggle for him. He's not, you know, a Sean Bradley, you know, 7'2", 7'3" guy that weighs 212 pounds. I mean, he is built, I think Johnny Dawkins crossed him up between like a combination of Shaquille O'Neal and somebody else. Like, he's got some weight on him. And so it's hard for him to get up and down the floor. And I think that was really obvious, especially tonight when TCU went smaller. You know, the other thing is, you know, I'm not great at math. But I do know a little bit about angles and geometry, and the shooting angle of a guy that size is different. And, you know, a lot of people, Keel O'Neal, struggles from the free throw line. And part of it was his release point. It's just so much more unusual for a guy that big to get to the rim that's 10 feet tall. And so I think we saw a little bit of that. You know, he's only been playing basketball for 5 years. And so, you know, if he can stay healthy, which is always the big issue, you know, knee and foot problems tend to plague guys that are that big. He's got a nice touch around the basket. He does some things well. He obviously, you know, he doesn't understand really how to box out. He's not good at body positioning, but his size and his reach enable him to get his hands on a lot of balls around the basket, and that makes him dangerous. And I think when you play, you know, against a veteran group, you know, that TC rolled out for most of tonight, there was some intimidation. Like, I think we saw Alex Robinson kind of go in there and say, no, I'm good, you know, and deny some shots that he normally would have taken. But just having a body that big, you know, especially when you're outside of the Power Six basketball conferences, there's a lot of kids who have never seen anything close to that. You know, having 2 6-foot-11 guys like TC has, those are rare in the AAC. And so I think that just having somebody that big certainly alters and changes not only shots once they're shot, but guys' plans to shoot them. And so he's raw. He's probably going to go to the draft. Someone's going to pick him up late in the first, early in the second, and then stash him for a couple of years in the D League. I don't see him having a long NBA career because I just don't think people are meant to be that big. But he's got a nice skill set. He's got nice touch around the rim. You know, he had that little, you know, a couple of those little jump hooks that are good, but I don't know if we can say he didn't meet expectations. I think he's an odd and unique combination of size and basketball skill that's only been playing for 5 years. And I thought TC did a really nice job of handling him in the way that they game planned, the way they attacked both offensively and defensively tonight.
Yeah, and, you know, he is not the focal point of their team, especially offensively. And I don't think the actual focal points of his team got a lot of talk tonight like they should have. That's, you know, you've got Matt Williams and BJ Taylor, who both had really poor shooting nights, and that kind of led to Central Florida's demise. Ultimately, they combined to go 9 of 32 from the floor for 25 total points. But when you're shooting that frequently and missing that much, you know, Matt Williams was 3 of 11 from 3-point field goals, and BJ Taylor was just 1 of 7. And those guys are their big 3-point shooters, and they just went cold, especially in the second half tonight once TCU went on a big run. So, you know, those guys, if they were hitting their shots, the thing might have turned out a little bit differently. Taco Fall played, you know, kind of how you expect him to play. I think he struggled with Vlad's athleticism on the defensive side of things, you know, because Vlad did put down 18 points and pull down 9 rebounds, mostly against him. And so, you know, Vlad, just with that huge turnout tonight, was massive. Obviously, Hustle was huge with 14 points and 14 boards. So now they head to into the NIT championship, playing against Georgia Tech Thursday night, 7 p.m. Central. Melissa, why not win the whole damn thing?
I mean, at this point, to be this close, I mean, I've been emotional a lot watching this team. You know, I was there at TCF. I know I've talked about it before, the last time that we made the tournament. And, you know, the last real meaningful basketball that we played has been decades ago, which makes me feel super old. And I think that – sorry, I think I was looking up Georgia Tech stats, and I think I just got blasted by an auto video play. But, you know, I think that – I won't say that anything at this point is going to be a disappointment. I mean, this – we are so far past, I think, what any of us would have expected a year ago. But yeah, I mean, the team clearly wants it badly. The way that they played in the first half, as they shook off the nerves, when that tone changed about 5 minutes to go in that half, and the way they came out in the second half, it's clear they were not there just to show up in New York City, that they're there to win. And I don't know, to be honest, I don't know a whole lot about Georgia Tech basketball, but I know a whole lot about TC basketball this season. And yeah, I think we got to go play to win. It's not enough to make it there. I want to take home some hardware. I don't care what the name of the tournament is. This is a huge opportunity for the Frogs.
It really is. And, you know, it's going to be a showdown of two first-year coaches, which I think is really interesting because you have Jamie Dixon, obviously, and then you've got Josh Pastner on the other side coaching Georgia Tech, who is, you know, he came in to Memphis. He was an assistant under Calipari at Memphis, and then he took over the head coaching job once Cal left for Kentucky, and he's been in Memphis until this season. And for him to take Georgia Tech, a team that I don't believe won a game in ACC play last year, or maybe they won like two or three, and to have them in this same position, it's another really cool resurrection story. So you have these two programs who have been abysmal, who are now fighting each other for a relatively significant moment, and it's just a really cool storyline.
Well, it is, and these teams marry each other a lot. Both have kind of turned the programs over to the young guys under their new coaches. Both are new coaches to the program, but that have histories of success at their previous ones, but kind of wore out their welcome in the fan base's opinion. And now both fan bases would probably gladly take back their previous coaches too.
Oh, yeah.
It's a young group again for Georgia Tech. You know, their leading scorer, they have four guys that score double digits a game. But a lot of those guys are on the younger side. And so I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, which team which team doesn't experience the moment being too big. The Rambling Wreck is led by a true freshman as their leading scorer. Not unlike, you know, having Desmond Bain who's kind of come in and really filled a big role out there, but they have a handful of seniors too, that can come in and step in and play big minutes when they need to, and can really make a difference on the floor. So it'll be interesting to see, and I think Jamie Dixon's come a lot to his seniors down the stretch. And, you know, I think we saw some really good minutes out of those guys tonight. Like you mentioned, Mike Williams earlier, seeing him hit those two big threes was huge. So, you know, can those seniors step up? Can they play a little bit by themselves? But Brandon Parrish is emotional leader of this team. Kendrick Williams is emotional leader of this team. I think those guys are going to find a way to will their team to victory.
Yeah, you know, I do too. I feel like this is the team of NIT destiny. And it's so incredible to see how this team has rebounded coming off of that 7-game losing streak to end the regular season.
Yeah.
You know, there were 3 or 4 games in that stretch where they could have, you know, if they pull off even 2 of those wins, we're probably talking about a TCU team that is a 10 seed in the NCAA tournament, possibly one and done there, versus a team that is now one win away from ending their season on a victory, getting great tournament experience for these young guys and coming home with a significant trophy. I mean, I know that it's the NIT and I know that it plays a huge second fiddle to the NCAA tournament. But if you look at the trajectory of some kind of mid-tier, now upper-tier basketball teams in Division One, you know, there's one down south about an hour and a half that has followed the same trajectory where they brought in a new coach, they won the NIT, and now they play significant games in the NCAA tournament. So this is a stepping stone season, but it is a significant step.
Well, you're right. And, you know, I've thought about that a lot over the last couple of weeks and had a lot of discussions with friends about this too, is what was better? Was it better to not make the tournament and, you know, heading into the NIT to say, hey, let's go into it, 3 games, the NIT, or would we rather made the tournament and had that one and done experience, which is likely, I mean, I won't say it's impossible because look what USC is doing. But, you know, the very possible one and done or two and done run. And this has been so unbelievably meaningful. You know, the experience for the guys that are coming back, which is, you know, the majority of the minutes, majority of the points are all should be returning next year. But just to have this moment for the seniors. And I think that while it would have been amazing to see them make the tournament and play in the big dance and have the opportunity on that stage, I think it's almost been more meaningful to see those four guys have a chance to go out with a championship, something that was just absolutely unimaginable, you know, a year ago, you know, during the Big 12 season. And so I don't have any regrets about us not playing in March. Now, I will expect to play in March next year. I think that's something that we have to get there now. I mean, the bar has been raised. But I have absolutely no regrets about playing in this so-called second fiddle tournament, because seeing guys like Brandon Parrish and Kavar Shepherd and Mike Williams and Chris Washburn get to win meaningful basketball games in March is, I think there's just such a more lasting impact for those guys who sacrifice so much personally of their own, you know, basketball experience in order to see TCU win. And so getting to see them win like this, I think it's been well worth it. And I think that the emotion around the team, the tightness of the team, the experiences that Jamie Dixon is building into this trip, I think that is as big a boon for recruiting and as important for establishing the brand of TCU basketball nationally as, you know, going to March would have been as well.
I definitely agree. I definitely agree. Well, Melissa, we have a caller, so why don't we just go ahead and let them come on cold. I don't know who you are, caller, but you are on with Jamie and Melissa on the Frogs of War postgame show. Tell us who you are and tell us what you got.
I am so happy to be here right now, guys. Hi. Look, this is Riff Ram TCU, a.k.a. DJ. Oh, my God. Guys, this just happened. I witnessed it. And I mean, you did too, didn't you? Did you see what just happened?
I think so.
I don't have a lot of, believe like, it, but I saw.
I don't have a lot of serious basketball analysis to throw your way. I mean, I leave that to your guys in your capable hands. Do the, you know, analysis and stuff. Right now, I'm just wanting to share in my, you know, unmitigated excitement and love for TCU. And oh my God, that just happened.
It was a pretty good thing.
To be honest with you, I love basketball when we're winning.
Yeah.
And I just in pretty much for my whole lifetime, I can tell you I haven't seen what we just saw. So let's do this more. Let's do more of it.
I could get on board with that. I'd like to do it one more time. That's for sure.
It'd be awesome.
Yeah. One more game this season would be nice. And then since I just got on with you guys, I don't know if you've talked about sort of like expectations for next year, or we just sort of focused on being happy about like what just happened in the next game and then worry about next year later.
Well, I think we've definitely touched on the fact that we're happy to be where we are. It's, you know, looking forward, which we don't want to do too much ahead of Thursday night, but it certainly has, I think, raised the bar for TCU basketball, not just for Frog fans, but for how we're perceived nationally too, which is just a crazy thing in and of itself. But yeah, I mean, I think we definitely, the NIT is awesome for this year, but I think we are going to want more come a year from now.
I think Crystal Conte is amazing. I think he had a plan. He hired the right guy, and he came in and delivered. And I can't believe the turnaround that just happened within such a short period of time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. It's, you know, and that's the thing that cannot go overlooked. If anyone on this planet deserves to be NCAA Coach of the Year this year, I think it has to be Jamie Dixon, just because of the state that TCU basketball was in last season. And now he has come in, and he said it from the very first press conference that he did when we were sitting there in the Sholly, and he was talking to everyone for the first time. And he said, this is not a rebuilding situation. We plan on winning now. And everyone kind of looks at each other and says, okay, well, at least he's being positive. But really, this thing's probably, what, 2-3 seasons away, even with this recruiting class. And then here he comes, and boom, you know, they've won – what is it now? 6 out of their last 7 games, and they're 1 win away from significant title.
Yeah,
this is just incredible. I mean, what it does for recruiting, what it does for the notoriety of the school, the program, seeing all the marketing all over Times Square in New York City, that was amazing. I wish I could be there right now.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm frantically looking up flights.
Same.
Yeah. Might as well, right?
I'll meet you. Why not? What do I have to do? It's Thursday.
Yeah. I don't know if you're going to get cleared for that one, Deej.
That situation. There's that. We'll have to deal with that. Yeah. Right. I've got some other stuff going on, but you know, whatever.
He's a little banged up.
A couple broken vertebrae. It's cool.
No big deal.
It's gonna be all right.
Ooh.
It's
Are they
fine.
Gonna let
it's
you
fine.
On an airplane?
Play through pain. I don't think you can get through the metal detector. Is the problem?
Play through pain. I am feeling no pain right now, guys. I'll jump off the line. Let you do your thing. Thank you for everything you do, Jamie. I'm still, you know, rooting hard for, you know, General Foy to come back. He needs to make a run. Get a General Foy Twitter account. I'm telling you, we could blow it up. Go Frogs. Go Frogs. Thanks, guys. We'll talk later.
All right, DJ. Talk to you later, buddy.
Oh, boy.
That's always great.
Always
great
DJ's
to hear
always
DJ.
Brings something special to the,
man,
to the party.
So much energy. So much energy so late at night. Mm-hmm. For a guy who has broken vertebrae.
Yeah. He's a mess. Mm. But, you know, we keep him around.
Yeah.
Mostly, so that his wife gets a break.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. All right. Well, we've got another caller here. So we're going to bring the next caller on the line. Tell us who you are and what you got. You're on with Jamie and Melissa on the Frogs of War radio show.
Hey, yeah. How's it going? Ryan over here. TCU alum, currently living in South Florida. So had a call in. This wind feels great. You know, I'm in enemy territory. So, you know, tomorrow when I'm driving to work, I'll definitely go slow on the highway. So you know, all those UCF fans can see the TCU Frogs stickers.
Excellent.
There are so many of them too, right? It's like 64,000 enrolled.
Huge school, yeah. They're everywhere. And I'll tell you what, no one has better spirit than us. I mean, I was really surprised. I see a few of them walking around this week, and I would say, "Go Frogs!" And you know, right for the game, and kind of looked at me with the deer in the headlights look like, "What the hell am I talking about?" So I felt good, felt definitely good, and you know, I feel bad for UCF. I mean, they're kind of a sports program down here that's forgotten about. You know, they like compete with Miami and Florida State and Florida. So you know, good for the Frogs.
Yeah,
it
I was going to ask that. Yeah, I was going to ask that. What was the vibe like? I mean, you said that not a lot of people knew what was going on, but, you know, were people confident, the ones that were paying attention? Did you get any smack talk to you down there? Or where?
Oh, yeah.
How many times did they mention taco?
too much. I got a bet with a coworker of mine, and he's going to buy me tacos when I get to the office tomorrow. So
perfect.
I'm looking forward to that.
Excellent.
That is so perfect.
Yeah. Well, listen,
awesome.
Guys. Thanks for having me, and go Frogs.
Go Frogs.
Go Frogs. Thanks for calling in, Ryan.
No problem.
All right, Melissa. So we've got 2 days now to turn this thing around and get a W against Georgia Tech. Mm-hmm. What do you think it is? Because Dixon is known for putting together teams that are capable of big tournament runs. We saw it at Pitt, even when he was a low seed in the ACC tournaments that he was in. We saw it, you know, with those teams in the NCAA tournament as well, making some decent runs. The Frogs obviously this year beat Kansas in the Big 12 tournament. What do you think it is about his coaching style or his methodology that gets these guys so ready to play so quickly?
Well, I mean, I think that's a great question. You know, I think that the thing that we've seen about Jamie Dixon is he's obviously an exceptional basketball mind. TCU has been a second half team all year, and you know, a lot of that has to do with halftime adjustments and how the coaches make adjustments. But I think the most impressive thing with him is that he has an ability to get guys to buy in a way that not every coach does. Number one is that he puts them in the best possible positions to succeed. And I think when you're flexible with the way you play offense and the way you play defense, you're capable of making those big runs because you're willing to adjust game to game, as opposed to saying, mm-hmm. we're going to do what we do and we'll see how it goes. He has changed his style so much over the course of the season, even from, you know, first half to second half. And he's had a team that's really flexible and adaptable. And you have a lot of guys that can play a lot of different positions. So I think that that's all kind of worked in his favor. But when you have that energy and you are able to instill belief in guys, when you know how to kind of rally the troops in those situations, you find ways to get the best out of people. And, you know, I think his basketball acumen, as well as just the leader that he is, the uniter that he is. I mean, we've talked, you know, again and again, and we can't talk enough about how he's got those four seniors to buy in a way that not a lot of guys would have. You know, that all kind of comes together. And when you're in those high pressure environments, you're playing games close together, you're seeing really unfamiliar opponents, you know, when in a tournament like the NIT or really overly familiar opponents when you're playing in the conference tournament. it's so important to have a guy that you believe in and that you know believes in you. And aside from what he's actually able to do with his guys on the court, I think the way he handles them off the court is a huge reason that they've had this success, especially as a lower seed and as an underdog, because that us against the world mentality only works if you believe in the us part of it. And Jamie Dixon, time and time again, has pulled teams together and gotten them to really believe in each other. And I think that's paying dividends as we make this long NIT run.
I think you're absolutely right. It, you know, he's so phenomenal. I think, you know, everybody was just so pumped when he got here, and he's still managed to blow us all away with this first season. It's just, I mean, I'm almost speechless.
I mean, like I said, I've been involved with the game of basketball since I was 4 years old as a player, as a coach. These things don't happen. You don't take the same team, and, you know, he added in a pair of freshmen that are impactful, and he got Alex Robinson, and so obviously it makes a huge difference. But he's playing with a lot of the same guys, and these guys are playing in a way that we did not see previously. The way that JD Miller is contributing, the way that, Kenrick Williams was a good player before he got hurt, but now he's one of the most Swiss Army knife versatile guys in the entire country and is probably going to turn himself into, you know, a late first round or second round draft pick by the end of his senior season under Jamie Dixon's leadership. Vlad, like, this was not Vlad last year. Like, there's some serious player development going on with this guy. And when you can see the result that clearly from an outsider's perspective, then you know these guys have got to realize that he's getting the best out of them. And I just have a feeling they're going to run through a brick wall for him on Thursday night.
I definitely agree. They're going to run through a brick wall. And if they come out on top, you know, it's just even that much better. Melissa, we've got another caller. We've got Lindy in Fredericksburg, Texas, I believe, on the Frogs of War radio show. What's going on, Lindy?
Hey, folks. I'm a little late to the party. Been reading all the news coverage on social media and online. You may have already talked about this. Did we have potential recruits at the Big 12 in Kansas City, and do we have some guys we're looking at there in the garden?
So that's a good question. I don't know if recruiting for basketball is the same as it is for football, but if it is, then you're not allowed to host recruits at neutral site games.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that they can't show up and watch you play. So I don't know if any showed up and watched us play. I know one signee, RJ Nembhard, was at the Big 12 tournament watching us play, but he's already signed. I don't know. That's a really good question, though.
Keep it up, folks. This is just tremendous. I didn't think I'd live to see the day.
Yeah, right? I don't think any of us did.
Yes. This has just been so magnificent. We appreciate your call, Lindy.
Thanks. Take care.
You too.
Yeah, you too. I think that's a great question about recruiting. I think you're right, Jamie. I think it is the same as football. They can't pay to send anybody out to any of those games, but I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, I'm assuming Jamie Dixon is still going to recruit the East Coast hard, being that that's what he's familiar with too. So I'm sure that there may have been one or two in the stands, but I can about guarantee you that there were a lot of eyes turned to the TV. And a night where, the NIT had the stage to itself collegiately, I think that there were a lot of high school kids watching those games tonight and looking at TCU in a different way is continued to be the case throughout the year.
Definitely. And Melissa, you know, there's one thing that we haven't talked about. This is all happening with Jalen Fisher on the bench.
Yeah.
With a broken wrist.
Yeah.
So, you know, you talk about a kid who is the highest recruit ever to come to TCU who hasn't played in the last three games. Being added to this thing, it's almost like getting a new recruit again next season when the season starts, especially if TCU comes away with the championship win here. This thing, it's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous to me. I can't even think about it. It's just making me too happy. And I almost feel guilty for enjoying it so much because I barely paid attention to TCU baseball tonight.
Well, you know, I got to enjoy both. I will say that it's great as it was to see, you know, TCU go out and win a baseball game. It was against, a team that isn't really impactful as far as, you know, our standings or our goals in the season. Just good to go out there and see Jake Eisler play. pitch well and get the good start and get the win. A couple guys had the bats. Elliot Barzilli had a couple of hits, guys, and a walk. So
hey, maybe that'll get him back on track.
Yeah, and he hit the ball well. Those weren't sneakers. I mean, he laced it back up the middle twice. So that's good news coming out of the baseball stadium. But we're gonna get real greedy around TCU because we've had the football success and to the point to where we were bitching and moaning last year because we only won 7 games or whatever it was, 6 games. So we've had the football success. Now we're getting spoiled out there. The baseball program has been unbelievable the last handful of years. All of a sudden now if football's good, basketball's good.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking like a 9-month sports commitment here, which is kind of crazy to see. Not a lot of colleges get to experience, 3 major programs having success at the same time. And assuming that GP rights the ship over there at the Carter, which I'm no doubt that he's going to do, we may be in for something even better next year, which is just ridiculous to think about.
Yeah, that's a great point, is that this was a down year for TCU football, and, they still went to a bowl game, and now you're talking about barely being able to get into baseball season when everyone is still paying attention to TCU basketball, and it seems, frankly, like all 3 teams are still on the rise. Baseball program that's made 3 College World Series in a row, a football team that's won, had what, 7-10 win seasons, 10-plus win seasons under Gary Patterson, and now you've got Jamie Dixon in here, and these 3 coaches, this is just a phenomenal grouping, and you're right, all of the credit goes to Chris Del Conte for putting this together. He's only had to hire one of them, which, a lot of people have said that to me, well, he only had to hire Dixon, and he hired Trent Johnson first, and my rebuttal to them is, well, when he hired Trent Johnson, he did reach out to Jamie Dixon.
Yeah.
He did make a pitch, and Dixon wasn't ready to leave Pitt, and that's fair, And second of all, I believe Patterson and Schloss have both signed several contract extensions under CDC's tutelage.
Hey,
so
when you're a small private school, it's not hard to get guys. It can be really hard to keep guys.
Exactly,
and
he has done.
Yeah, money's not an issue, but.
But he's done a tremendous job of keeping them happy, which money can only do so much. In the way of keeping a coach happy. And so it's just a tremendous note to his leadership and his ability to keep these guys happy and focused and doing their jobs well. It's great.
Yeah.
Great job, Chris.
Yeah. Thank you, CDC. Hey, I mean, I don't see anything wrong with, having a year where we win an NIT championship, win a College World Series, go to a BCS game, and then finish it with another trip to March Madness. I can see the next 12 months playing out like that, being pretty dang happy.
That would be really great.
Yeah,
and
not to
forget about some of the other sports that are dominating right now. Men's tennis is killing it.
Yeah.
They just
beat
Texas A&M over the weekend, which I know we all love. I call it women's rifle. It's just rifle, but they finished second in the nationals this year, and Equestrian has zoomed again. Yes,
yeah.
So it's just everything is coming up roses for TCU athletics right now, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a pretty special time to be a Horned Frog, and I'm hopeful we'll get football back on track to experience that as well. But I think, like you said, it comes down to leadership at the top. Victor Bashini is out there, and in the last NIT home game, handed out ice cream to the kids, and putting the student centered and the fan centered focus on there, and. You see, Jamie Dixon's at the TCU baseball game on Saturday night, when he's getting ready to leave to New York the next morning. And Gary Patterson's out baseball all the time. And, he's checking in on baseball scores while he's grading scrimmage tape. I mean, these guys, they legitimately, it's not lip service. They've legitimately built that family atmosphere. And it starts with Bashini. It starts with Chris Del Conte. But then the coaches have kind of lived it out over the last, several years, and Jamie Dixon's come right in and fit right in and become a part of that little coaching fraternity on that campus. It also includes, Roditi in tennis and Joe Kramer and all these other people that have really made it just such a special place and have been given every opportunity to succeed and then done an excellent job to carry it through.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. You know, all right, we've got another caller. Dylan, you are on with Jamie and Melissa on the Frogs War Radio Show. How are you doing tonight?
Doing great. Yeah, doing great.
What you got for us?
I just got back from Dave and Buster's with my friends and stuff. We were watching the TCU basketball game and stuff against UCF. What a phenomenal game. Got to be honest, I was scared that first half, you know, because at one point they were up, I think, 10 or 11 points on us. And then we were able to just slowly creep it up and stuff to 2 points at those last few minutes of the half. And, you know, we like kind of like football, which is kind of funny. It's like we're a second half team, and we were able to pull it together and beat them. It was an amazing game.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's something that we hadn't mentioned quite yet is the comeback that they had to make in that first half. You know, they found themselves down 29-19 with a little under 4 minutes left in the first half, and then they go on this 10-0 run to tie it. End up going into halftime down 2, and that really kind of set the tone for the second half, where the Frogs come out on a 15-3 run and just kind of, you know, pull away and never look back.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was quite a run, and just to, I mean, I think the thing we've loved about this team all season long is that they don't go away. You know, there's not a point where they ever give up. Doesn't really matter what the score is. They play hard, and generally in basketball, when you play hard, you get rewarded, and you start fighting for loose balls. TCU won the rebounding battle today, which doesn't happen very often against UCF, and overcame some really poor free throw shooting, you know, even down that stretch when they were making that comeback. And so there's a lot of heart in these guys, and they played their tails off, and, you know, Dixon coached his tail off out there too, and it ended up putting them on top.
So,
all right.
Go ahead, Dylan. Do you have a question?
Yeah, just one last question. I just kind of had to end it off. Of course, I know the season's not quite over yet. We still have one more game, you know, this Thursday, which I'm really excited about. First time that TCU, you know, has made it to the, you know, NIT finals. You know, go Frogs! But I was just kind of wondering, what do you think this means for, you know, the future of that TCU basketball? You know, especially, you know, coming next year, do you think that means possibly a chance at the big dance at the NCAA tournament, possibly?
Oh, yeah, I absolutely think so. You know, this is, like I said earlier, this is a stepping stone season. This is a building season. And Dixon came in and promised that we were going to win right away, and that has proven true. But the goal is the NCAA tournament. And with the current trajectory of this thing, I don't see any reason why this team in its current form, more or less in the form that it will be in next year, couldn't make the tournament next year. So I think big things are ahead for TCU basketball.
All right. Great.
Well, appreciate your call, man.
Oh, thank you.
Go Frogs. Oops, I hung up a little soon there. We've also got one more caller, just a few minutes left. Ronnie, you are on with Jamie and Melissa on the Frogs War Radio Show. Ronnie,
hello.
Are you there? Hey, how are you?
Hey, what's up? I'm good. How are you?
We're doing great.
Okay.
Celebrating this win.
Yeah, it's been huge. It's funny. I actually am one of the weird people who have watched more NIT games than NCAA tournament games, so it's been a fun run for us.
Awesome. Totally with
you. You're
a
dedicated Frog fan. That's good.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I look down the roster and I see, I guess we're losing Washburn, Parrish, Williams. Really not too much. It's hard not to think this team's not going to be in and out of the top 25 all of next year, huh?
It's definitely possible.
You know, the 12 is going to look a lot different next year. A couple programs will be kind of in rebuilding mode, but there's no reason to think with the guys coming in and the guys coming back that TCU shouldn't expect to be a top 25 team and hopefully competing, you know, in the top, you know, third or fourth of the Big 12 overall.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm curious, like, what you all think as far as looking at the recruiting class coming in, complementing, you know, the current base of starters we've got right now. How do you feel like that starting five is going to look next year?
I think we'll see a really similar sorry, Jamie, didn't mean to run over you there, but I think we'll see a real similar starting five. I think you're looking at bringing back Fisher and Alex Robinson probably as your starting guard. Kenny will be back, as will Vlad. J.D. Miller, I think has really improved this year defensively. And so, I think he can kind of slide him into four. But we've got a four-star center who looks like he's 47 years old, 10 guy. I think he's going to get a lot of playing time early. And R.J. Nembhard out of Keller isn't a super smooth shooter, but he's exceptional at breaking guys down off of the dribble. And I think will be a really solid addition from when we go in those little scoring drops that we're known for going in. So I'm excited to see him as well as I think the transfer out of Pepperdine, is he immediately eligible, Jamie? Am I right on that? Did he play JUCO ball this last year?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, he's immediately eligible. He can shoot. His 3-point shooting percentage isn't, great, but he's a good shooter. Yeah, you mentioned Nembhard and Kevin Samuel. You've also got Andre Pearson, Lat Mayan, who have all already signed. Lat Mayan is out of the Australian Institute of Sport. He's another really big Australian basketball player. Obviously, when Dixon was hired, he hired the assistant coach away from LSU, who brought in Ben Simmons. And so this guy is the one that recruited Lat Mayan, and so big things may be coming from him. And then you've also got
Coat Noy too will be eligible next year. Yes. He had to sit there because of transfer. Yeah. Academic
issues. So when you talk about the seniors that are leaving, Brandon Parrish, Kavar Shepherd, Chris Washburn, and Mike Williams, you're losing some really, really quality guys and some good basketball players. But this recruiting class should be able to come in and at least from a talent level, be able to fill those gaps pretty quickly. Just being freshmen, their ceiling is probably a little bit higher. Because they are slightly better recruits. That's not a knock against these seniors. And so you see this such quick improvement this season, and then you have a great recruiting class. It's the fourth best recruiting class in the Big 12 right now, 32nd in the country, according to 247sports.com. And just, as Michael Jordan says, the ceiling is the roof.
The interesting thing, I think, one of the things we don't want to overlook is that we're losing a lot of heart. Out of Parrish and Shepherd have been really two of the emotional leaders of this team. But then I also think you're going to see Alex Robinson take a bigger leadership role. I think Vlad's going to take a bigger leadership role. And as long as Kenny Hustle is out there playing, I'm not really worried about heart. I think we've got that in place, with him alone. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all comes together. But, before we start looking ahead, we've got some 48 hours from now that – really get excited about and continue to build a lot of positive momentum around this program. And not only, we've got this next class locked in, but the 2018 class is going to be built off of this run in a lot of ways. And so it's exciting to see Jamie Dixon and his team putting themselves in a position to keep the mountain going uphill.
Yeah.
You mentioned Alex Robinson. That's actually my next and last question/observation. I feel like he's the one guy on the team who's really, obviously Kenrich is a big X factor, but hey, Rob, I feel like I go from like one drive wondering what the heck he's doing to the next drive thinking he's one of the best players in the NCAA. So how do you feel like, do you feel like with Robinson, you just have to accept the bad with the good, or do you feel like he should tame his game a little bit and get a little bit more conservative next year?
I don't think he should tame his game. And I think one more season under Dixon might help him find a little bit more consistency, especially distributing the ball. I think you take the good with the bad with him. Just the way that he is aggressive, the way that he gets into the lane and then passes it out, and his ability to score at the rim, I don't think you want to tell a guy like that to slow down despite the fact that he turns the ball over a little bit, because if you get him out of his rhythm, then I don't know how effective he can be.
Yeah, you got to have a little wildness to be a great scorer, because you've got to be willing to take some chances. And he's only played 2 years of collegiate basketball now, so he's just a sophomore. He's a young guy. He's not super big, and so I think another offseason, another year in Dixon's system, and a little bit more help around him. When there's a lot of times where he felt like he had to do it all, and he probably wasn't wrong because other guys weren't hitting shots. And so I think we're gonna live with his 2.5 to 3 turnovers a game probably for one more season. But I think it's well worth the payoff of all the good things he does for TCU as a whole, and the offense and the defensive end. I think he's a really underrated defender.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Ronnie, thanks for calling in, bud.
Yeah, thanks, y'all. Have a good night.
You too.
Oh, we will. Melissa, that's I think, going to do it since we've got like 20 seconds left in this Blog Talk Radio recording. So thanks for doing this quickly. We will see y'all later. We'll have another show after the NIT championship, regardless of who wins. That is TCU Georgia Tech Thursday night at 7 on ESPN. For Melissa Treewasser, I'm Jamie Plunkett. Have a good night and go Frogs.
Go Frogs!
Woo!